don't know if it's coming off. There is fashion, there is fat. Some is good, some is bad. And the joke is rather sad that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back. This is Smart Girl Politics with Smart Girl and former Representative Kathy Lauer Rago. My name is Karen Testerman. Our co-host Susan Olson is AWOL. Well, not really. We just wanted her to know how much we really miss her. And in our last segment, we had on Dr. Keith Smith of the Surgical Center of Oklahoma, where he employs free market principles. Dr. Smith and Dr. Steve Lanyard decided to open a hospital that did not accept federal funds. This reminds me of the colleges Hillsdale and Grove City, where they decided not to accept federal funds. And because of this, they're able to be priced competitively and offer competitive programs at a fraction of the cost of other colleges. When our daughter attended Hillsdale, we did not have to abide by the federal privacy laws. And so we could pick up the phone and call directly to the professors about her progress or her lack of progress. And they could talk candidly with us. In fact, we even attended parent-teacher conferences twice a year. Well, Dr. Smith and Dr. Lanyard invited 10 surgeons to join them in their mission to provide this quality surgical experience that would be second to none, and they would charge their patients fairly and honestly while never dealing with the federal government programs of Medicare and Medicaid. In fact, when they did deal with those, they would do it for free. According to Dr. Smith, this physician-owned structure eliminated the most inefficient and greedy profit seeker from the surgical equation, the big hospital. Doctor-owned, the surgical center offers lower prices than the other non-profit hospitals and even the for-profit hospitals. They even list their prices on their website, which is attracting medical tourists from across the United States and people coming over the border from Canada and from other countries. I'm excited because they're addressing the situation we have been talking about, where we have become so dependent on a third party to provide services in our insurance and in our Medicaid and Social Security and so forth like that, that we don't even know what these procedures are costing us. And so I just am really excited about this free market out of the normal think box idea that we can actually start to see maybe our medical bills reduced to what they were at one time with a little bit more sensibility to it.
And puts it back between the patient and the doctor. Yeah, I love the idea of having the costs for procedures online so that people, just the average person, can go and check out the differences. I think if we had every facility had their prices online, it could only benefit the consumer.
Right. And you said there was a bill in the House last session that was dealing with that.
There was, and I honestly cannot remember what happened to that bill, but there was a bill about having facilities have online their the cost of different procedures. I would love to see actually the legislature As a matter of fact, I was just telling Karen that I may just send an email to them to link them to Dr. Smith's webpage and his blog and the site about the Vermonters for Healthcare Freedom, which I just pulled up, which is just amazing. I honestly didn't know that this was going on in Vermont.
More transparency. That's what we've been being told for several sessions now, or several years, that we were going to get more transparency, and it's turns out it's very interesting. You know, and I remember the first time I realized or was informed that many of our hospitals here in New Hampshire are, quote, nonprofits, and yet I can't see that they really qualify as nonprofits. So,
well, I know from my own personal experience that it is a lot less expensive for me to go in and just pay for my own medical expenses out of my own pocket and not have insurance connected to it, because I can go to a hospital and get my blood drawn for, say, $75. And as I went and did my window shopping, I found out there was a private company that I could get the same blood drawn for $25. So it definitely helps to go shop for your services.
Wow. And, I mean, we do it all the time when we're going out and purchasing products for our home, or doing any reconstruction work or anything like that. Or if we want to buy a car, we're always out there comparing prices. We should also be doing it in the medical field, too.
But that's interesting, because it never occurred to me to go shopping for medical services until a friend of mine who's a nutritionist happened to mention it to me a few years ago, how she goes down to Manchester to get her blood drawn because it was only $25. And I was like, I'd never heard of that. And so it is available. You just have to, as a consumer, be proactive and do your homework.
Well, that's what we're all about at Smart Girl Politics, is that we want you to do your homework. We want to give you some ideas about issues and what's going on. And then we encourage our girls to go, our ladies, and the men who support us and help us. And they don't have to financially support us, like George. He's just a good guy. And and we have many of our legislators and other people who come in and like what we're doing, and they join in too. So it's been really exciting. So what are you doing on January 19th? There's a couple of things going on. There's the March for Life is January 19th. It starts at 9 o'clock at the Concord Dump. There's a service for the unborn. And then on at 11:15 is when they actually start the rally
at the State House.
At the State House, right. And then from after the rally's over, they actually march from the State House down to St. John's, past the abortion clinic.
Correct.
And then at St. John's, there's usually some sort of a small lunch that's available at no charge, and a speaker. Then this year it's Darlene Pollack.
Well, I actually did the March for Life last year, and it was freezing outside. And other than doing the march itself, which was rewarding, ending up at the church, and they had hot food there for you. It was like hot coffee, hot food. It was awesome.
Yes, and also on the 19th is Gun Appreciation Day. So we're encouraging you, those of you who are gun owners, to go to your favorite gun shop. I believe there's going to be something at Riley's sports shop in Hooksett. And so go and support your your gun shops, because it looks like we're close to being under attack if we listen to Vice President Biden and former President Clinton.
Yes, actually. But before we get a segue into that, I also want to mention about January 31st is the Second Amendment rally in front of the State House.
Yes, and it starts at 12 o'clock noon, and we'll go until about 2 o'clock. Come and stand for our Constitution. You know, the interesting thing about the Second Amendment, it is not about hunting. It is about our right to defend our family, our our place of residence and our personal lives. Plus, the other thing that the Second Amendment was to do was to ensure that freedom of speech and freedom of religion was protected. And so it's very interesting if you really go back in history and start looking at why did the Founding Fathers do this, and not that they personally grew up under tyranny, but they did experience it. I mean, the crown was coming over and telling us what to do and taxing us accordingly, and these men and women got together and drew up the Declaration of Independence, which interestingly enough has 27 violations that the people listed. So I think we're having something very similar that might appear on the 31st of January in front of the State House at 12 noon, so you might want to come and check that out as well.
Also, I think when I think of the Second Amendment, I think also about keeping our government in check. Because, you know, back then, the militia was actually the folks. I mean, it was the farmers and the those were the people who were our militia. And if in reading some of the history, part of it is also to keep our government in check. Because if you go back in history, you will see that when governments disarm their people, that's when bad things happen.
Right. All sorts of
bad things.
And it's not just mischief.
To
it's
the people.
Really right. It's really detrimental to the people. And so we really do have our Constitution is something very special, and it is the rules by which we operate. And it also says at the end of, I think it is at the end of the Declaration of Independence, that if our government gets out of hand, we have the right to turn around and reconstitute it and pull it back into line.
Well, and if you even look, there's an article from Pravda, which is from the Soviet Union, that is even trying to forewarn us, don't lose your guns. I mean, they're basically, you know, they were commenting about how the Soviet Union has been dead now 21 years, but they were talking about how they are still denied their basic and traditional rights, and but the criminals are still armed and they're still murdering, and so it's really, if you take guns away from the law-abiding citizens, only the unlawful citizens will have guns.
Exactly. And the government or the militia that want or the and the militia that would be under the government's control. So it is if you do go back in history, it is the destruction of every one of the countries. In Germany, the same thing. There's a lady, and I can't think of her first name is Kitty, with Eagle Forum. She's an older woman who is now a naturalized citizen, and she's written an article, and she goes through it and shows exactly how our freedoms were removed from, or their freedoms were removed from them. They did have guns at the time, and they also had an education system, and that she shows how even through the education system that when the children are instructed in a certain way, then they become pawns of the tyranny. And it's very interesting because we are seeing that where our American history is not being taught in our classrooms, at least not real American history. And I mean real American history meaning that you go back and you look at the primary source documents like the Declaration of Independence. You go back and you look at the Constitution and study the Constitution and all of the things. It's amazing to me how many of our constitutional lawyers have never really studied the Constitution. And how I remember back when I was working with Diane Gilbert, and it was at the time it was the New Hampshire Center for Constitutional Studies, but now it's the National Heritage Center for Constitutional Studies, because we were – we would try to get an attorney to come in and talk to us about what was going on in the law schools, and most of them had never had the Constitution even presented to them. So they were coming to her to be schooled on what it really said, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, and that's actually, I did take that class with her a few years ago before I ran for office, and it's very educational. I would recommend it to anyone to take her class.
Well, that's nhccs.org, nhccs.org. So, and they do offer it, and so does Hillsdale. Hillsdale has an online course that you can go in and you can sign up for it, and they put it, this is what they're actually teaching to their students at their campuses. And it's Hillsdale 101, or Constitution 101, and you go up and you sign up and with your email address, and you can go through the classes at your leisure, but it's their actual instructors who are teaching it. And this year, they've even got Constitution 202 on.
Nice.
Yeah. So, anything else exciting that we had such a great meeting last night. I invite everyone to come. It's on the second Wednesday of every month, and we gather at 5 o'clock to sort of do a meet and greet and networking type thing for about an hour, and then we start our meeting at 6 and go through until about 8, and we have speakers come in. Our next speaker is going to be Michelle
Clark. She is an instructor for what they call a RAD class, which is Rape Aggression Defense, I think is what it stands for. But I took that class with my daughter a few years ago, and it was really awesome. So we're doing self-defense is the month of February for Smart Girl Politics. So I asked Michelle, and she is going to be our guest speaker in February. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Right, and we meet at the Draft in Concord. That's 67 Main Street, and we're upstairs. So if you want to come and join us, that'd be a great thing to do. And then on the 16th of February, we are also going to have a class called Refuse to Be a Victim. And we would... I think $40 to attend, but we would really like you to consider coming. If you want more information, you can email me at info@karentesterman.net, and we will get you the information. We're working on getting our website up and running for the state of New Hampshire and Smart Girl Politics, and so there's that little lag in there. But again, if you want any information, just email me at info@karentesterman.net. And this has been another quick segment of Smart Girl Politics. We've had Kathy Rago. We miss Susan Olson wherever she is. And we will be back again next week. I almost said next year. Thanks, George.
Taking the rest of the year off, Karen?
Hopefully not. There's too much work to do.
Too much work to do. That is. Thank you for listening to Smart Girl Politics.